No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. The band is all together on this Tuesday night. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you to discuss the Winnipeg Jets. Don't call it a winning streak just yet. Two games does not constitute a winning streak, but for the first time this year, the Jets have won two games in a row, backing up Saturday's victory with a victory tonight, 4-2 over the St. Louis Blues on home ice. Gentlemen, good to see you both on this Tuesday evening, a later Tuesday start to the show than we're typically used to, as Frozen Frenzy is, I think, what they're calling it in on ESPN, taking place with all the games starting at 15 different minutes staggered time. Nonetheless, 7:45 puck drops are beautiful in the eyes of the Winnipeg Jets, getting a much needed divisional victory.
Yeah, but where were all the games in Canada? That's what I want to know, because I don't think that was, I don't think TSN and Sportsnet were included, so I'm not sure why that was the case, because I think a lot of people in Canada would like to experience that, right? So, yeah, like you said, it's only ESPN and it's only the U.S., so unfortunately, the Canadian networks didn't participate. Maybe they'll do it again. We'll see, but you're actually, you know, onto something, Drew, with, you know, this maybe not being necessarily a winning streak. I mean, there was a lot of shades of that Florida Panthers game where the Jets were up 5-2, right? Mm-hmm. And then they let the Panthers come back and get within one goal here. And obviously that happened against the Blues, when then Morgan Barron obviously ended it with the empty netter. But I mean, this Blues team is not very good. We talked about it on Saturday morning show. You know, this is a top heavy team. The Kyrou Thomas Brandon Saad line is a great line. I like Braden Schenn, but I mean, you're missing some star power there. The defense is still all right. I thought Jordan Binnington had a pretty good game. You know, the Blues hung around and kept it interesting, but yeah, this was a pretty commanding win from the Jets. And you know, they took those three penalties in a row, and they allowed St. Louis to get back in the game. Yep. But yeah, this was a pretty impressive effort. There was definitely hiccups, Dave, but I think overall the Jets are going to be pretty happy with getting the 2 points tonight.
Yeah, Dave, I want your thoughts on the game as well. You know, I would say it wasn't pretty. There were definitely warts to the Winnipeg Jets game. There were definitely opportunities and instances throughout the course of the 60 minutes where they were a little loose and a little casual, and you know, particularly in transition, the Blues had some opportunities. And of course, Connor Hellebuck had to be the best Jets player on the ice, as he was we so often see from the Winnipeg Jets goaltender. So you're happy with the victory, but there are definitely things that still need to be worked on over the course of as a result of tonight's game, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think St. Louis is a particularly good hockey team. I think they had some, as he said, they've got some top-heavy talent. They had some flashes. I mean, Jordan Kyrou with back-to-back breakaways in the second period come to mind specifically. So, I mean, there's definitely some. I mean, look, but having said that, St. Louis came into that game with a better record than the Jets and with more points than the Jets. So, I mean, it's a game that you needed to win. It's the Jets are only home for one, of course, before now they're going back on the road. They'll head out to Detroit and then to Montreal. So you got a couple of games on the road before they're back here for the Blake Wheeler game. I think that's next month.
Oh, that's in New York, isn't it?
No, it's in Winnipeg.
Is it? Oh, I missed that entirely. I thought that was it, because it's the 6:30 start time.
It's either in Winnipeg or New York, one of the two.
Thanks, Nazi. It's the 6:30 start time for the game on Monday that threw me off. I just immediately saw 6:30 and thought that it must be in New York, but I guess it's 6:30 Central time. It's here in Winnipeg.
Yeah, nicely done, Drew. Maybe I'm completely wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's only a 2-game road trip for the Jets. Regardless, the Jets are feeling good about themselves.
How about that?
Yeah, every once in a while. But the fact is
that sick person on the NHL.com website decided to just make it a blue border.
Oh, isn't that the worst?
I don't understand.
Drew already ranted about that.
That was a good idea. I don't understand it.
As Hey, hold on, hold on. Just you don't have to talk about some specific element of the NHL website and be like, I don't understand it. The entire NHL website is something that you could say, I don't understand it. It sucks. It's it used to be functional. It's crazy.
It's something that the NHL used to take pride in.
No, but I'm not even joking. The AHL website is I understood it. It's way better than what is the NHL provides. It's actually embarrassing. So, I couldn't get over it. And anyways, like I said, the fact of the matter is the Jets are going to be able to build on what they did tonight. And there were still a lot of positives. I mean, you want to talk about positives. David Gustafson scoring his first regular season goal in almost 4 years, that's a huge thing for him. And look, Mason Appleton had 5 goals in 41 games, I think, for the Jets last year. He's already got 2 and 6. So, I mean, there are definitely some positives to be taken away from.
And they were both beauties, like both one-timers, right? So they weren't just, kind of garbage goals. That was a beauty shot from Gustafson. Obviously, we'll get into it in the Betway game recap. But I agree, Dave. I was telling you that as we were watching the third period, like Gustafson was like, you knew Gustafson was going to score a goal. Like, what was he going to go another whole season without a goal? So,
he couldn't actually, because there was already a Ginsburg guarantee in the preseason that said he was going to score a goal. And look, you could see that. Whether it was the conversation that Rick Bowness had with him in the summer, where essentially they said, your spot is not a guarantee. You're going to have to work to earn a spot on this Jets club. And you could see that David Gustafson came in and wanted to earn a spot. He played really well in the preseason. He adds
was the 13th forward. I mean, he was the 13th forward until Gabe Vilardi went down.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying, when I say earn a spot, I mean like, in the 13. I don't mean necessarily in the top 12. I'm just saying that he had to earn a spot and not be potentially sent down, or, you know what I mean? That sort of thing. But ultimately he did. He looked really good in the preseason. As he said, he leads the Jets in goals, and he provides an element again on that penalty kill he provides another really good thing in that he and Rasmus Kupari are forming a little bit of a, identity. And when you have Morgan Barron as well on that fourth line, as we've talked about it, the Jets for years haven't really had an identity with a fourth line. And now I think with these guys, and it's
the best fourth line since 2018, for sure. That 2017-18 season. And you're absolutely right, Dave. Gustafson's on the wing now, but if you did need to move him to center, you obviously can. I'll remind everybody that David Minuk was the original David Gustafson fan club, and he's been talking about how good Gustafson is going back 4 years, 5 years now. And what I just like about him, he's just a smart hockey player. Mm-hmm. He's just in the right spots. He's not gonna, I don't think anybody expects him to be a 30 goal scorer in the NHL. I think he could probably be a 15 goal scorer, something like that. He's still young, right? But that's what stands out to me, boys, about Gustafson. He's a reliable player. He's only 22, 23 years old. But the coaching staff, and also great that the Jets got the win. I'm not sure if we've mentioned that. I don't think we have yet. Obviously, with, Judy Bonus and her health, you knew that the Jets were playing for something more than, than a typical game. So obviously all the best to the entire Bonus family.
Yeah, exactly right. All the best to the Bonus
family. And that was a sentiment. Sorry, Drew, just let me just jump on quick. Mm-hmm. That was definitely a sentiment that was shared yesterday. With when we spoke to Josh Morrissey and Mark Scheifele, not to say that the game was secondary, but it was definitely a sentiment that was expressed by those two players, the alternate captains of the Winnipeg Jets. And again, with Scott Arneil, the associate coach, speaking about it. So you knew that they talked about the idea of getting a win for Rick, and that probably brought a lot of joy. And they made a mention of Rick and Judy in the during the game, during what I think it was the second period. They made a comment about it during the commercial timeout.
There you go. Thanks for that update there, Dave M. Look, the Jets.
Oh, we should tell people that she suffered if you don't know, Rick Bonus's wife, Judy, suffered a seizure on Sunday and she was in the hospital.
Yeah, and she's now back home resting comfortably, but Rick has taken a leave of absence until they can further diagnose what's going on there. So, of course, family comes first, and everyone would applaud that sentiment undoubtedly. Back to the game, we've talked about it before. St. Louis Blues are they're a fairly middling team. You know, you could say that, you know, the, you know, without any elite goaltending. I mean, Jordan Binnington, you know, goes pretty good hot tonight. And cold. Yeah, he had flashes where he was good. I don't like him. I don't like his approach on the Kyle Connor goal, and we'll get into that when we get into the Betway game recap. Look, he's got peaks and valleys, you know, and the Blues aren't, you know, they're a
peaks
nice
and valleys. Hockey. I think is a perfect way of describing Binnington's game. I mean, yeah. Goalies are voodoo, Drew. You know that, but I mean, like the 2019 run right. was Look, it was like one of those, it was like a Jean-Sebastien Jaguar run with the Ducks in 2003, right? Like Binnington was, it was, or Tim Thomas in 2011, right? Drew, sorry, I just wanted to get that in there that I do think that, you know, Binnington's for sure a number one goalie in the NHL, but, you know, it's, there's the highs are high and the lows are low, right?
Yeah, he's a bottom half number one goalie, I would argue. He's better when he's got a solid backup pushing him, I think, for competition. And look, regardless, the Jets consider themselves to be a better team than the St. Louis Blues, you know, deep down that they would say. And I think most people would say that the expectations for the Winnipeg Jets are higher than those for the St. Louis Blues. So when you're on home ice, you need to win a game like they did tonight. And the game started pretty slowly, you know, with the 0-0 sort of a very feeling out period for the in that first period. And then the Jets were opportunistic in the second. But at the same time, I don't like some of the sloppiness that you saw from the Winnipeg Jets in the course of the game. The
Dylan DeMello turnover.
Yeah, you know, Josh Morrissey's turnover. You know, that's, you know, I understand what he's trying to do there, but I just, there were a lot of times. Look, Jordan Kyrou has two breakaways in the course of this game. If Kyrou capitalizes on either of those two, it's a completely different game. Now, Connor Hellebuck bested Kyrou on both of those, but you don't want that to happen. I just
that was a bad Nate Schmidt turnover. Yeah,
the Nate Schmidt turnover certainly was a bad one that led.
And the Jets got Drew to that idea or to your point. The Jets got lucky because the puck bounced right. Like the Blues had three men in the zone, and very easily after the Kyrou chance got stopped, by Hellebuck could have buried a rebound, and the puck was they got some puck luck. The Blues did not. And so it was bouncing a little bit. So the Jets,
and Kyrou had another scoring chance, and he had four shots in the second period, which were his only four shots of the game.
Yeah, he was good.
I just checked. I thought he had actually five, but he's a good player. But you're right, Drew. I mean, that's the vintage Hellebuck that we've come to expect.
Yeah,
and that's why we were surprised. I think most people were surprised. You know, through the first three games, he wasn't the reason why the Jets lost, but he wasn't, you know, the normal Hellebuck that we're used to seeing. And he was fantastic on Saturday night against Edmonton after allowing those two goals. As Drew said on the post-game show, he shut the door and he said, okay, you guys got two goals on me and that's going to be it for tonight. Mm-hmm. And same thing for tonight. I mean, he was excellent tonight and he was the best player. I agree with Drew tonight. You know, I think there were some great individual performances. I think Nick Ehlers looked better tonight, I should say, than he has, you know, through the first five games prior to tonight. I think he's going to get his goal. Cole Perfetti, obviously, we'll get into that in the Betway game recap. He was fantastic, I thought, as well tonight. That line, that second line, even though Drew and I both agree that he should be at center, I think, you know, look, the Jets were rolling their lines, and you know, this game, if you looked at the score, you'd say it was close, but it really wasn't very close.
Well, the Jets got the victory is what they needed most. 4-2, things to clean up, no doubt. But the 4-2 victory and the 2 points and the winning two games in a row is what they will gladly put into the bank before they head out on that two-game road trip. With the victory, the Jets move to 3-3, tied with the Nashville Predators. The Arizona Coyotes also have 6 points, but it's a little too early in the season to really be doing that much standings watch, I can assure you of that. Let's get into the Betway game recap, talking about the Jets and the Blues.
The Betway game recap.
Betway game recap brought to you by our friends at Betway, proud sponsors of the Illegal Curve post-game show. Betway is the sports betting app that puts you, the customer, at the forefront. You know all this, folks. Head on over to Betway and bet your way. There's nothing else to be waiting for. Must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. Big thanks to our friends at Betway for their sponsorship of the Illegal Curve post-game show. Like we mentioned, first period, not a lot in that first period. Not a lot of activity, not a lot of action, not a shots were 8-6 for the Winnipeg Jets.
Drew, you're not going to mention Duke?
Duke, the pup drop. Yes, Duke is always, look, pups are always number one on this program. Everyone knows that. But Duke, yes, did a very impressive pup drop, not puck drop, but pup.
Is that drop. What they were calling it, a pup drop?
I think that's what I saw somebody say something about pup drop. I don't know if that was.
You think they would have trouble with, like, they lack opposable digits.
Yeah, but they're smarter than have you seen some of these dogs? I see they're pretty smart. They know how to drop a puck if trained properly. It's like the dogs that are the bat dogs in some minor league baseball stadiums where they run up onto the field and collect the hitter's bat after the at bat. But a great job by Duke. The Toba Center were the headline guests at tonight's contest. Adam Lowry heavily involved with them, and I think there was a sizable donation that he made to the Toba Center. So that was a nice, very nice pregame ceremony, pregame moment, a little bit of giving back to the community like that. Always, always great to see. And then the game started and not a lot happened in that first period, Dave. Both teams sort of feeling each other out. First time they've
seen each other. Nice save by Hellebuck on Brandon Saad, Drew.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, and that was it for really the scoring chances. Yeah.
It was low rebound. Event. It was definitely low event.
Yeah. Big rebound that Brandon Saad probably should have capitalized on, and somehow he sort of shot it and squeaked it right back through Connor Hellebuck, and combination of the save and probably a bit of a miscue on the shot, but the Jets will gladly sneak away from that high danger chance, Dave.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it, and I know that people were panicking about Connor Hellebuck, but it sure seems like the Connor Hellebuck that everyone expected to know, that you've come to expect, is back. And I'm not saying he's going to be phenomenal every single game, but he was pretty damn good this game. And as he's right, like, this is a game that the Jets needed Connor Hellebuck once again to do what he does, which is when they make mistakes, he bails them out. And you don't apologize for having one of the best, you know, goaltenders in the NHL. It's just part of the reality of your hockey team. It's in this team's DNA. And part of that is when there are miscues, and there are miscues, and we've talked about it with this team, they're not going to be the best defensive team in the NHL. And when they do, he is there more often than not to make those big saves. So he did what he did. And first of all, we should mention, because our friends at iCandyAir put together his mask, phenomenal mask. I mean, the Heritage Classic stuff is always amazing. I saw some of the people in the chat talking about the Heritage Classic whites. I'd love to see those too, because I think those are the best jerseys they've ever made. I think those ones are
so clean. I agree with that.
Yeah.
So clean.
Like
so
the blue,
sharp.
The blue's good.
Yeah.
But the white are just like the best ones.
300%
that they've ever made. I think they're incredible. So I saw someone say that those should be the playoff ones. I'd be, you know, I think that would be fantastic as well. But I definitely think the white Heritage Classic. But the Hellebuck's mask was pretty neat. We just saw our friends at iCandyAir tagged us in their post about it. So we should mention that. But yeah, it was. I mean, it wasn't a particularly noteworthy first period. I will say one thing,
guys. I wanted to throw in there too. There was that 2-on-1. Jake Neighbors had the shot, and mm-hmm. and Hellebuck kind of made the save look easy, but it was still an odd man rush. And the Blues and the Jets both had two even strength chances, mm-hmm. High danger scoring chances. So you know, there was like it the Brandon Saad save was very crafty. And then there was the Jake Neighbors 2-on-1 save. Not to mention, like we talked about, the Jordan Kyrou breakaways in the second period, right? So, like, this wasn't like, you know, that 50-save performance in San Jose or anything like that. But Hellebuck was excellent. He was better than Binnington.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, it, you know, we'll get into the goal here. But I agree with you. It was low event, but Hellebuck still had to make two pretty darn good saves.
He did definitely have to make those two saves, and then the Jets were able to get the scoring going in the second period. We can say that both goals in the second period, and they came one after another, 18 seconds apart. Low to high is what the Winnipeg Jets did on both of those goals. The first one, David Gustafson, his first of the season, assist to Cole Perfetti and Dylan DeMello. And we only have a few rules here on this program. One of them is to always wear pants. And the second one is that if you score your first NHL goal in four seasons, you get rewarded with a Seagram shot of the game.
The Seagram shot of the game.
That, of course, going to David Gustafson as he's taking a shot of water there. But Seagram's always encourages you to drink responsibly, whatever might be in front of you, as long as you consume responsibly. Big thanks to Seagram's, of course, for their sponsorship here on the post-game show. David Gustafson is first in 4 years. Hard to believe that it's been that long, but such is life. He gets his first assist to Cole Perfetti and Dylan DeMello, and it's a really nice pass by Cole Perfetti, just showing some exquisite vision to find Gustafson. And good on Gustafson. You know, when you haven't scored for that long, sometimes you begin to second guess yourself. You begin to look for the perfect play. Instead, it was on and off his stick in a blink of an eye and past Jordan Binnington to give the Jets the 1-0 lead, Dave.
Well, first of all, I've already in contravention of rule number one, because I'm not wearing pants. I'm wearing shorts. So sorry about that.
I'm wearing shorts too, but you know what I meant.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I was taking a little literally there, but look, I mean, it's there's no question about it that it's great to score in the preseason and to get that good feeling, but to be able to score a goal, to be a contributor, we know what David Gustafson is going to be on this team. He's not going to be a goal scorer on this team. He's expected to be the guy who is responsible defensively, who's going to play the PK and, you know, effectively shut down the opposition. And really, you know, that fourth line, you don't want to see goals against. If they can score and they can contribute, that's fantastic. Obviously, that's a bonus. But ultimately, that's not hit your expectation. Having said that, early in the season, for him to kind of get that monkey off his back, to get that good feeling, you know, with the goal. And you're right, Drew. It wasn't an ugly goal. It was a beauty. It was right place, right time, went to the front of the net. And Perfetti, as he's right, I mean, Cole Perfetti was excellent throughout the course of this game. And he was feeding guys, and he could have had at least three or four assists in this game because he made so many nice passes throughout the course of this hockey game. Guys weren't able to bury their opportunities, unlike David Gustafson. But you know, there were probably three or four other chances as that he could have had assists on. But yeah, it's a huge thing for the Jets, and it was early in the second period, so you're getting a little bit of momentum. You get the crowd excited. And again, like I said, it's also because it's David Gustafson. So there's a little bit more juice to it just because everybody knows he went all of last season. Everybody knows that he's got the Ginsburg guarantee hanging over his head, but he gets the goal. He gives the Jets a 1-0 lead and he's feeling good.
Yeah. And just quickly before we get to the Appleton goal, like, you know, and I was just checking like the even strength expected goals, that line was in the top. They were all in the top five for the Jets, right? So that line is clicking right now. And we were talking about this on the post game show Saturday night. Like Drew and I were saying, I mean, the numbers backed it up. That was the Jets' best line. It actually wasn't the Scheifele Connor Iafallo / Appleton line. Mm-hmm. It was the Ehlers Perfetti Nemestikov line. And what I love, Dave, about that goal, in addition to obviously the beautiful backhand pass by Perfetti and the top corner shot by David Gustafson, is that Nemestikov holds on to the puck there, and then he's the guy that goes off the ice. Mm-hmm. And then there's obviously, it's a partial change because Perfetti is obviously, you know, he's the guy that isn't on that line because Nemestikov and Ehlers went off the ice. But I just love, I've just been really impressed by Nemestikov. Not only was I impressed with your interview with Nemestikov that I wasn't there for, I'm just continuously impressed by him. He's just a smart player. Like he just has great hockey IQ. I know it's cliche, but Nemestikov just fits in really nicely there on the second line. And yeah, it was just a great play. And just watching the replay, like, it's just so nice to see Gustafson with a big smile on his face. You just love to see that type of stuff.
You do. It's, you know, anytime you're a professional athlete or you're watching a professional athlete and, you know, either they're struggling to get the puck in the net or they can't get a base hit or whatever the issue might be, when they finally get that relief, you can see it on their face. And it is sort of nice when that happens. And certainly that was the case for David Gustafson. And while the goal was still being announced and the crowd was still cheering, the Jets made it 2-0. Mason Appleton, his second of the season, just as everyone expected, the Jets goal scorers to be Gustafson and Appleton to start tonight's game. Adam Lowry, his third assist, and Neil Pionk. And again, it's another low to high play where the Jets are finding soft ice sort of just outside the blue paint, and the St. Louis Blues are just poor in their gaps. Lowry just finds Appleton there. And again, on and off his stick really quick. You know, Jordan Binnington really doesn't get a lot of a chance to set up or react. He's got it's you know, on and off. It's, you know, it's below the goal line on Lowry's stick. It's up to Appleton. It's off Appleton's stick quickly. And the Jets have a 2-0 lead. And you like how the Jets are reading and reacting in these instances.
Yeah. And it, you know, what I was thinking too is like on this play, it's Tyler Tucker, who's a young player. I know he's a late draft pick. He's from Thunder Bay. I heard Dan Robertson mention that on the broadcast. He was on the ice for the first goal, and then he stayed off. It was the third pair for the Blues is Marco Scandella and Tyler Tucker. And I thought, like, Adam Lowry, that was just like a man. That was a veteran pro against a rookie defenseman. And you're right, Drew. I mean, like, Mason Appleton, like he's just all alone. And it was Braden Schenn's the second-line center, and he's just not covered there. Mm-hmm. And I forget who the other player, the other forward on that line, it could have been Pavel Buchnevich, but just nobody, Buchnevich and Schenn, like nobody's covering Mason Appleton. So Lowry cycles and you know, brings the puck from like you said, behind the net with Tucker covering him. And then he just feeds it right in Mason Appleton's wheelhouse, and he one times it past Jordan Binnington. So it was just poor defensive coverage by the Blues.
Yeah, it was. They were just a step slow, just very casual, and just not, you know, I use the phrase all the time. Just the attention to detail wasn't there. And in the NHL, when your attention to detail isn't there, teams will take advantage of it. We've seen that for so many years from the Winnipeg Jets perspective, where they're sloppy in their own end, or they're lackadaisical in terms of their defensive responsibilities. And you know, before they can react, the puck is behind their goaltender. And that's a similar situation to what you see here. Good execution by the Jets.
Yep.
But at the same time, the Blues are lacking in their execution, which
they were on their heels, right? Like that's to me, Drew, you're absolutely right. The attention to detail wasn't there. And at any level of hockey, coaches are going to say, right, like you don't want to be standing around. And that's kind of what it looked like on that goal is, you know, the Blues were just watching the Jets cycle the puck in their zone. And yeah, we don't want to take anything away from Adam Lowry's pass or Mason Appleton's goal. But certainly the Blues were on their heels at that point.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And then, you know, so the Jets were the better of the two teams in the, for the first 10 or, you know, even 12 minutes, I'd say, of that second period, Dave. And then the St. Louis Blues, the Jets began to run into some penalty trouble, and the Blues began to take over in the latter half of the second period.
Yeah, and we were watching that, and I was like, you just got to be a little bit crispier, and that's the problem with the Jets right now. Like, you know, I'm not going to use your attention to detail because I think you guys just said it 10 times
in the
last 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So I'll leave that one out there for you. But I think, you know, it's one of those things that it was just some sloppiness that the Jets have to clean up. Some of those miscues that are leading to opportunities, whether they're power plays or just direct opportunities on Connor Hellebuck. I mean, look, as we've detailed, St. Louis isn't a particularly good hockey team. So a team like Vegas, a team like, you know, LA, like whomever is right, going to make you pay if you're making mistakes like that. Now, Connor Hellebuck playing like Connor Hellebuck, that is the great equalizer for this Winnipeg Jets club. And it has been for a number of years. So that's always there, but you just don't need to be relying on that sort of thing. You need to clean up your hockey game and need to, again, you know, ensure that you are doing those little things, because again, you got to put in good habits now that are going to last you the entirety of the season. You can't be sloppy and be like, well, we got the win. It's 2 points. We put it in the bank and let's move on.
Right.
I mean, the reality is
then you play a Vegas Golden Knights or, you know, you play a Colorado Avalanche and then they'll put 4 or 5 goals past you. Right.
Right. And again, you're also trying to do something. You're trying to ingrain in your team, a culture, a thought process, whatever it is, that muscle memory. So when you are in the playoffs and you need to be able to rely on these sorts of things, you know, they're not new phenomenon. You've been doing it for 82 games or whatever it is, and you'll be able to have that in the tool bag. Because again, like I said, you just don't want to be in a situation where you're always relying on Connor Hellebuck. Oh, well, you know, we made a mistake, but Hellebuck, you know, bailed us out. We know that's always going to be there for this Winnipeg Jets hockey club. But again, you know, part of it also is keeping Connor Hellebuck fresh, and they didn't give up a ton of shots.
Right.
And at one point in the second period, worth mentioning, the Jets were out shooting St. Louis 7-1. Mm-hmm. So it really wasn't looking like St. Louis was in this hockey game. And again, I think that's a testament to what the Jets needed to do, because ultimately, if you don't give up those penalties and you're up 7-1 in shots, you're up 2-0 in the game, you know, you're kind of steamrolling them. And Binnington had played well and he'd made some, you know, and look, they got a good chance on one of the penalties. Adam Lowry, the shorthanded goal specialist, gets that chance. And
it was a 2-on-0.
Yeah, it was a 2-on-0. And you know what? Credit Binnington.
It was a single file 2-on-0.
And but credit Binnington because he punches the puck away after Lowry tries to slide at 5-hole. Because if he hadn't, Nemestikov could have very easily buried that shot. So and made it a 3-0 hockey game. And instead they don't. And then of course they subsequently score a goal late in that second period to cut the lead in half. But I just think it's one of the things the Jets, again, we know the coaching staff is going to focus on this, and we'll hear from Coach Scott O'Neill, we hope, after the game.
We hope is the operative word.
Yes, 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 exactly. Maybe during the commercial break, I'll jump out of this conversation. I'll go into a different one and I'll test whether this is working. Or maybe, Drew, you should, since you're going to be the guy who's doing that.
I can possibly try that. It sounds like a lot of effort that I'm not sure I'm mentally equipped to do, but we'll try it out. In any event, as you mentioned, the Blues cut the Jets lead in half. Pavel Buchnevich, his first of the season on the power play at the 18:25 mark, assist to Braden Schenn and Jordan Kyrou. Yeah, just a beautiful, beautiful tip by Buchnevich, putting it under the crossbar and beating Connor Hellebuck. And it was going to take a beautiful shot to beat Hellebuck tonight. And that's certainly what they got from Buchnevich. Just found some soft ice, found his stick away from being tied up by the Jets defenseman, DeMello and Dylan on the power on the PK here. And he makes a very nice tip of the Schenn slap pass to make it 2-1, Ezzy.
Yeah, I think I don't know how much more I can add there, Drew. I think that's exactly what it was. Like, it was a beautiful tip. I don't think any goalie really could have stopped that. And up until that point, as you mentioned, Hellebuck was perfect. And, you know, yeah, Brendan Dillon is the defenseman that's covering Buchnevich there. And, you know, his positioning is fine. There's nothing wrong with his positioning. And like we talked about, when you take three penalties in a row, and I agree with Dave, like that just disrupts the flow of the game. So yeah, beautiful tip by Buchnevich. But again, you know, it was a 2-1 game at that point, but it shouldn't have been. And that's kind of the point we're trying to make, right? So if you turn the puck over, like, you know, Nate Schmidt, you know, it's unfortunate because I thought he was much better against Edmonton after coming back into the lineup for Logan Stanley, but DeMello turned the puck over. Nate Schmidt turned the puck over. Kyrou gets a couple breakaways, but Hellebuck stops it. But then you give them, you know, three power plays in a row. And, you know, that's, I think that was the Dylan Sandberg high sticking penalty.
It was the Sandberg high stick just after Morrissey's hooking penalty,
which was funny because when we watched it in first light and I tweeted, I said, did Dylan Sandberg just get a penalty for being too strong?
Yeah.
And so then you're like, okay. And then you watch the replay and you're like, oh no, Dylan Sandberg got a penalty for high sticking. That makes sense.
Exactly. And you got a penalty for having poor eyesight in your,
in my defense. I mean, it was, we're at one end of the press box. That was happening at the other end of the press box.
After 40 minutes,
depends on the side of the road, Mindell.
After 40 minutes, 2-1 for the Jets. They make it 3-1, 4-on-4 situation. Kyle Connor gets his fourth of the season, sort of quietly that he's got four goals already this year. But he gets his fourth, assist to Nate Schmidt. So Nate Schmidt gets credit on this one. A very strong play by Nate Schmidt to be able to set up Kyle Connor. But I have to tell you, I mean, look, it's a great shot by Connor. He goes short side on Jordan Binnington. I hate how Jordan Binnington plays this shot.
I'm going to disagree with you on this one.
You say you disagree with me?
Yeah. Really? I'll let you go into it.
So Scheifele's driving hard to the net as well. It's a 2-on-1 situation. Mm-hmm. And Binnington's responsibility here is the shooter. The goalie's responsibility on a 2-on-1 is the shooter. He's cheating on this. He's way deep in his net, and he's cheating off of the goalpost, anticipating Kyle Connor passing it over to Scheifele. And look, Kyle Connor's got some skills when it comes to distributing the puck, but he's also, you know, a hell of a goal scorer in this league. I don't know if I need to remind anybody about that or remind Binnington about that. I hate the way that Binnington plays this, just trying to cheat on this play rather than...
Well, and he drops to the ice, right?
Like, right. He's on the ground.
That's the thing. So I said that to Dave. Like, look, I think, you know, Dave, here, you jump in here in a second. But like what I was thinking was by doing that, by dropping, and like Drew's saying, you're not going to stop the shot. Like you don't have an opportunity to stop the shot.
You're deep.
I think that's what Drew's trying to say. It was a nice shot by Kyle Connor.
It was,
but it just was badly played by Jordan Binnington, who we talked about was pretty good in this game.
You're deep in your net. You're giving up the short side. I also don't like Nick Leddy's effort on this play. If you go back and watch Nick Leddy's effort here, he could have fit in on some recent Jets teams with his very weak back checking effort on this one. But okay, Dave, I've made my point.
It's not a huge argument with you, and I agree with Ez. Like, his dropping down did give Kyle Connor that space, and Kyle Connor doesn't need. Like, he gave Kyle Connor this much space. Kyle Connor could have been fine with something like that. So, I mean, giving Kyle Connor a little bit more window is never a good thing. I just thought Scheifele played a really good deceptive role there. And I agree that, like, Binnington should have been more aware. And he just, I think he did cheat. But I just think, like, you know, it just goes to show you how much of a problem Mark Scheifele is and how aware goaltenders are of Mark Scheifele, that I think he was just like, expecting that to be a pass over to Scheifele, and he anticipated the pass, and he was wrong. He took a risk, and he miscalculated. Now, had he been standing, I think he's trying to do that so he can get the move over across.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, I'm not like saying you're 100% wrong. I just thought that I could see the way Scheifele played that really well to set himself as a decoy.
Sure.
That in that regard, so Binnington is expecting Scheifele to get that puck, and he's doing a good job. So, I mean, I'm just saying that I think you got to give credit to the play of Mark Scheifele there, driving the net and setting himself up as that target for Connor to, you know, get into Binnington's head and be like, I got to get over there because that's Mark Scheifele coming down. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm not 100%, as he says, goaltenders are a little voodoo. I won't pretend to ever. I've never, aside from a little RHL, Rupert Sloan Hockey League, I've never played goaltender, but I will say that the...
I think I played goalie once in like house league hockey. I think I was on the Blackhawks, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, that's the only time. And it's like you guys remember like the old community center brown pads, like those old soft ones that like you put them on and like they like you take a shot and like dust would come off of the goalie pads. Yeah. That's the only time I played. I agree with Drew when he said it's been a quiet 4 goals in 6 games for Kyle Connor. Mm-hmm. Like we talked about it on Saturday's post game show, Dave.
Yeah,
like he had a beautiful pass from Josh Morrissey that, you know, if it's midseason, that's in the back of the net. He was missing the net quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's been quiet 4 goals, which tells you how good Kyle Connor is, right? That he's got 4 goals and you basically, you know, you think he should probably have more like 6 or 7.
Yeah. So 3-1 for the Jets. So they get the insurance marker and things are looking pretty good for the rest of the third period. They get a little hairy, as they always do for the Winnipeg Jets, on a bad turnover by Josh Morrissey, and then a subsequent pinball play where Morrissey is getting pressured and he's trying to backhand it behind his own goal. It's a blind backhand pass. This is not like Josh Morrissey. I think he was anticipating that DeMello would have been there. Instead, it wasn't. Instead, it was Pavel Buchnevich who centers it out front and it pinballs off of Mason Appleton's skate right onto the stick of Robert Thomas. And he gets his first of the season, firing it point blank past Connor Hellebuck. No chance for Hellebuck. And all of a sudden, again, things are getting a little bit nerve-wracking for the Jets. 3-2 late in the third period against the Blues, Dave.
I should point out that as I walked through Canada Life, having talked to Kathy and Don at security, and they cleared me to walk in the building, and I walked through the building and I got to the elevators that take us up to the press box, as I was getting ready to go into the elevators, local celebrity Dancing Gabe is walking out. So he says, hello, Dave from Illegal Curve. He also passed on his regards to both of you. Said hello. Told me to tell you, say hello to Ezra and Drew.
Yes.
So hello on behalf of Dancing Gabe to the two of
you. Thank you. Hello to you as well, Gabe.
And so it's interesting. So we chatted for a few minutes and I said, so Gabe, what's your score prediction for the game? And he paused for a second. He goes 3-2 Jets. So, while we're not hopeful for a result, I was hopeful that Dancing Gabe would stand up. So Dancing Gabe's scored. Now we knew that they were going to pull the goaltender again. There's a good chance it wouldn't, but Dancing Gabe was pretty close pretty close. That man has seen a lot of hockey games. So
Dancing Gabe had a good prediction. I told Dave my prediction before this game was 6-1 Jets after seeing what the Coyotes did to the Blues. So obviously Dancing Gabe was a lot closer, but I think that you guys would agree the Jets easily could have had a few more goals. And I just wanted to say one thing, Drew, on that goal. I think DeMello was there, but Buchnevich was the one who dumped the puck in. Morrissey retrieves it.
Yeah.
And you got to give credit to Buchnevich. Like, he comes in there. And yeah. I'm not like the only
it's
way.
First game of the year, has he?
Well, and the thing is, you're right, Drew. Like, Morrissey manages the puck really well most of the time. But aside from DeMello yelling at Morrissey, saying, like, you know, don't pass me the puck, pretty much. I'd give a ton of credit to Buchnevich on that goal.
Yeah, look, he gets full credit for hustling and for putting himself into the position with which to force the turnover. And it's not a typical Josh Morrissey play. So, you know, no. Both things can be true. Nonetheless, it's 3-2 for the Jets at this point in time. The Blues pull the goalie again in the last 90 seconds or so of the game. They don't really get anything that would amount to a scoring chance. The Jets did a very good job of keeping things to the outside when they gained the zone. And then quickly, Neil Pionk, Mark Scheifele with a very strong defensive play, almost single-handedly winning a puck battle against three St. Louis Blues players, and feathers it over to Morgan Barron, who puts it into the Blues empty net, capping off tonight's scoring. 4-2 for the Jets over the St. Louis Blues. And you have to like how Mark Scheifele certainly played there on that last shift to set up the Morgan Barron goal.
So this is what I saw in that Morgan Barron goal.
Yeah. He managed to hit the net. But
he went to the center of the net. He scored a goal. No.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right, Drew. I mean, look, anybody who has watched the games can see that 55 is playing a different game than we saw last year. He played this game a little bit last year. I don't want to completely pretend like there was none of this, but we are consistently seeing a different effort from Mark Scheifele through six games of this season. And guys, what did we talk about throughout the course of the summer? Was one of the most important factors for this Jets club was for Mark Scheifele to round out his game and to really develop all around. And I'm not going to say that Mark Scheifele is becoming Steve Yzerman. I'm going to hold that one in my pocket as he for
what
a little
bit
Guy longer.
Carboneau?
Yeah, not yet. Not yet. We're not doing that just yet. But
what about Bob Gainey?
There are a lot of those.
About,
good.
What about Yuri Lehtinen?
Come on, give me some Devils now, Ez. Come on.
John Madden.
There you go. The point is that you're seeing an effort from 55 that if this Jets club wants to do anything, is going to be necessary. And so far through six games, you're seeing it from him, and you're seeing the type of leadership that you needed to see from a guy both, you know, throughout the course of all areas of the ice, the 200-foot game, that mysterious 200-foot game. Now, you're still expecting 55, 81, and 9 to be spending most of their time in the offensive zone. But when they need to, you want to see Scheifele doing what he's doing.
Yeah, and that's exactly what the Jets want. And as a result, 4-2 victory. They get the victory on home ice. That's, you know, home for the one gamer, and then they're off on the road, and they certainly needed that win. And they get it to even their record now at 3-3 through the first six games of this 2023-24 regular season. Big thanks to our friends at Betway for their sponsorship of the post-game show and the Betway game recap. When we come back, we're going to do the Tough Duck Hardest Hitting comment. We're going to hopefully play the audio of Jets associate head coach Scott Arneil. We'll talk a little bit about the glimpse of the interview that we've seen from Mark Chipman and Darren Dreger. Much more to come. It's Tuesday night. It's the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg. Don't go anywhere. We're live on our YouTube channel.
Your coworkers love you because you always make them laugh. You're the life of the party with stories that have them rolling on the floor. Or maybe you're just the quiet one in the corner with the one-liners that just slay. Do you have what it takes to become Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job? Try your luck. Hit the stage at Rumors Comedy Club and you could be walking away with $1,000 cash. Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job. Presented by Rumors. For all the details, head to rumorscomedyclub.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal. Starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
The game can change. Oh! Just like that. Accidents happen when you aren't protected. So now what? Getting to your injury quickly can make all the difference. Help prevent them from being game changers with Linden Market Dental Center. Bonding, crowns, bridges, and dental implants. State-of-the-art treatments are available to help you get back in the game. To learn more, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rolly's and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rolly's.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rolly's.com.
Boston Pizza harnessed Fanalytics to test if the game is better at home or at Boston Pizza. The results are irrefutable. Catch the game at Boston Pizza, powered by Fanalytics.
Are you dreaming of your very own backyard rink this winter, but dreading the work involved? Well, stress no longer, because the Rink Guys are here to make it happen. The Rink Guys are Winnipeg's first outdoor skating rink installation and rink maintenance service. The Rink Guys offer free site evaluations and different rink construction options. Plus, they use a custom-sized liner to prevent any damage to your lawn. Lighting packages are also available to help illuminate your rink during those long, dark winter nights. To get your rink started today, visit therinkguys.com. For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the illegal curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com.
11:15, welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you. We'll be back again on Thursday night to cover the Jets and the Detroit Red Wings. I think that's a 6 o'clock puck drop. I hope I'm right about that.
It 6 is.
O'clock Central, 7 o'clock Eastern.
Alex DeBrincat, leading scorer in the NHL, boys.
Yeah, you know what? He's certainly looking great for the Detroit Red Wings, coming over from Ottawa after he said he wouldn't sign there. So the Red Wings are not your... They're finally seems like they're maybe through that sort of rebuilding stage that they've been in forever. Good old friend Andrew Kopp will be around. 5-1-1 the Red Wings are, and they're scoring a ton of goals. I think they lead the NHL in goals for, with 34 goals scored in their first seven games. They've given up 20, so they're maybe giving up a few more than they would like, but they're certainly putting a lot of pucks behind goaltenders all throughout the NHL, placing them with that solid 5-1-1 record. So it'll certainly
it's the
be
defense and the goaltending that's I think going to be determined whether they get into the playoffs, because like you said, Drew, I mean, DeBrincat, Dylan Larkin, Lucas Raymond, you mentioned Andrew Kopp. I mean, yeah, like they've got a lot of talent, and but yeah, that's, to me, it's going to be how that defense holds up.
Let me ask you guys this. So we've only seen a snippet of the interview so far. So we've only seen a snippet what they showed on TSN Insider Trading, and it'll be released in full on Thursday. Of course, I'm speaking about the interview between Mark Chipman and Darren Dreger, where they were addressing the recent attendance issues at Winnipeg Jets games. And again, attendance was not strong at tonight's contest as well. I think I saw a little over 11,000 in attendance for this, you know, epic Tuesday night battle between the Jets and the St. Louis Blues in the middle of October. You know, from what you've seen of the interview, did you have any thoughts? Did you have any sort of feelings based on what you've seen of the interview so far?
Not really, because I like we only saw like a minute of it, right? And I mean, I thought the first question was not really, I mean, the question I would rather hear or hear the response to is like, why do you think the attendance is so low? I mean, like, what is Mark Chipman going to say when he's asked, I mean, is there a threat of relocation? Like, yeah, exactly. So I mean, obviously, you know, Darren, I don't have to tell Darren Dreger how to do his job. Wow. But I mean, we talked about it on Saturday with Jeff Hamilton, right? Like the Jets owners have deep, deep pockets. And also, this is the first year in which the attendance has dipped like this. The first year, right? So, and I'm not saying that, you know, like the Jets are going to start averaging 15,500 a game, you know, starting next Monday against the Rangers. They definitely have some work to do. But like what we saw in that clip, I'd like to see the whole interview before I really, you know, make a comment. But, you know, Mark Chipman said it himself, 10 straight years of a shootout, pardon me, of a sellout.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, there's a pandemic and there's nobody watching games and, you know, the economy's bad now and people are being, you know, more careful with their money. Like, you know, I told this to Dave, the one thing I would love to hear from Mark Chipman is for him to say that their marketing campaign, you know, was a huge failure. Because let's be honest, that was a huge failure. I don't think you can scare people into buying tickets.
I would agree with your succinct assessment there so far, Ezzy, and probably reserving judgment until we see the interview and as a whole is a good decision. But nonetheless, you know, obviously TSN is teased it out there, Dave. And I mean,
yeah,
there's a whole debate going on our Twitter feed about was Dreger the appropriate person to conduct that interview. I mean, it certainly was a much softer interview than one that would have been conducted with a lot of other members of the local media, but whatever, that's True North's prerogative. I don't want to get into that. I mean, you know, Dreger certainly handles it with kit gloves because he knows who his sources are and he knows who he needs to keep on the good side. You know, I do think the whole thing is significantly overblown at this point in time. But what I don't see is, and what I need to see is True North taking more ownership over the issue.
Exactly.
As opposed to just saying, well, why aren't the fans supporting us? Well, maybe they should be looking inwards as to why aren't the fans supporting it, as opposed to why is it.
That's why I said that, Drew. That's why, you know, I'll be curious to see if Mark Chipman talks about that, like, you know, the responsibility of like what is True North maybe not done very, very well. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that I'm not sure if, you know, they'll get into that, but yeah, I mean, and in terms of, you know, Darren Dreger is the TSN insider, right? Like, so he's him, Elliot Friedman, guys like this, like those are the ones that get those types of interviews.
Yeah, they get those.
I would love to see Mike McIntyre get that interview.
Right. They get those interviews because they're tissue soft when they do the interview. I mean, let's be perfectly blunt and perfectly honest. You don't go to Dreger or Chip or Friedman or any of those guys who work for one of the big networks, you know, expecting hard hitting journalism. You don't. It's just the reality of the situation. You expect the friendliest interview known to mankind, and that's certainly what they're good at delivering.
I'm still trying to figure out what your question was, Drew. Sorry. That was quite the monologue. I'm not certain there was actually a question at any point for me. But
I think at some point in time, there's something that could have ended with a question mark.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of options for you to go question, but you didn't. Yeah. You just kept kind of going. So I was like,
talk about.
So I was like, what do you want me to say here? Look, I'm with Ez. Like, you got to see the full. Media availability before you're going to judge this, you know, the sum of its parts and all that stuff. But ultimately, there's so many things at play, and for folks to pretend like it's just one issue or it's just one thing or Winnipeg's a shitty market or blah blah blah. It's like, is Buffalo a bad market? Like Buffalo with one of the youngest.
We were there for the draft in 2016 when Patrick Laine was selected second overall by the Jets. Buffalo's a great hockey market.
Of course, they're a great hockey market. And one thing actually I learned today, did not know, maybe you guys knew this, I did not know it. Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press told me today. I did not know that Buffalo plays the anthems for both America and Canada, regardless of whether they're playing a Canadian team or not. So even if they're playing another American
team. Probably because they're so close to the border.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that. But Minnesota doesn't do that as far as I know. And a number of other border cities don't do that.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I didn't know. Mike told me that today, and I thought
still
that was
like the
neat.
Anthems. I know some people don't like the national anthem.
Yeah, I just thought
I'm a traditionalist in that sense.
I just thought it was a neat little factoid. Actually, shout out to the anthem singer from today. I thought she was fantastic. She did a really good job. I didn't catch her name. She was young, but like I thought she actually did a really good job. My point is, quickly as I segue, is that Buffalo, San Jose, I mean, Arizona's Arizona, but the fact is that there are soft numbers around the league. Winnipeg is an easy target because of obviously what happened with the 1.0. The corporate sales are, you can't ignore them. I mean, as he made a good point. He said, look, I think the fans actually have done a pretty good job, but it's not necessarily on the fans. It's on the corporate community. It's also on True North, not only to sell to the corporate community, but also to do a better job of marketing themselves. Their marketing campaign sucked, you know, before the playoffs last year. I mean, sorry, it was just, it didn't do anything other than create bad, negative feelings. The idea that you signed Hellebuck and Scheifele, that would have been something that you could have sold to this marketplace. Some people don't like it. Some people are upset about it. But the fact of the matter is you could have used that as a sales pitch in June or July, not necessarily in October. So there's, and again, ultimately, and the biggest one for folks at the end of the day, and I've seen the comments in the chat, do you pay your mortgage? Do you pay for groceries, or do you go to a hockey game?
I know the answer. It's not the hockey game.
There's so many factors that go into this, and ultimately, do I think? And here's the other one. Here's the other one that nobody's talking about. And Ezzy and I talked about it, and it's nothing like earth shattering. You know why the Jets are not moving? Because True North has invested tens of millions of dollars in the downtown of Winnipeg.
Yes.
And as much as I love covering AHL hockey, they didn't do that to be an AHL city. They did that because this is an NHL city. So for whatever folks are, all the people outside this market who are suddenly experts on Winnipeg,
they're all experts. It's
crazy.
Amazing.
I'm listening to all these people. Ah, Winnipeg. First of all, again, rich people don't get rid of them.
Did Ottawa not have trouble? Like, Ottawa was a great city. Ottawa had trouble when the Senators were struggling and Eugene Melnick. I mean, they were, their attendance was struggling. Obviously, you know, Ottawa's a kind of similar size market, but you've obviously got, you know, a lot more people in the surrounding areas. But
it's
ridiculous for there to be, you know, 11,000, 12,000 fans for the first three or four games of the season. And then all of a sudden now you're talking about relocation. I mean,
you're
absolutely,
Dave, you're absolutely right about how infuriating it is that all these carpetbaggers come from around the different marketplaces that have never set foot in Winnipeg or have set foot in Winnipeg for 1 hour once. And all of a sudden they proclaim themselves of experts as to what the issues are that are, you know, dealing with attendance, as, you know, as if they're more complex than people have a limited amount of money and they can only spend it what they can, and tickets are expensive and everything else has gotten a lot more expensive in the same period of time as well. Yeah, it's amazing. Everybody is all of a sudden a world renowned expert on Winnipeg. They come out of the woodwork very quickly. The cockroaches do in some of their opinion making.
And, you know, Dave mentioned, you know, all of the develop, like the True North Square and everything like that. And, you know, True North, I don't know if they have officially purchased Portage Place, but there was that announcement three or four months ago that they were going to redevelop Portage Place. But not only that, I mean, the biggest difference between 2023 and the mid 90s, 1996, when the Jets moved to Phoenix, is Winnipeg is growing, right? Like at that point, Winnipeg was kind of around 650,000, something like that. Now, what is Winnipeg? 800,000? It might even be 850,000. I'm not sure what the last, you know, census population was, but you look around, you go around Winnipeg. I mean, whether you're in Bridgewater or Sage Creek, or you know, you're in the east end of the city or the north end of the city, past Garden City, like there's residential development everywhere. Like Winnipeg's growing, it's booming, it really is, and that's a huge difference when you have a stagnant population and a stagnant economy versus a growing population and a growing economy. So I just wanted to throw that in there. It's not apples and apples here. 1996, the old Winnipeg Arena. I mean, it's just to compare what's happening now to 1996 is absurd.
You can't. They control the entire market. They literally control downtown. Unlike the 1.0 version, who didn't even own their own arena, True North owns pretty much everything in the downtown. So that's why it's incumbent on them to fix the downtown and do some things to make it a better, more desirable place to be. And again, this is why it's a lot of this is incumbent on True North to get their act together and figure some things out. But look, it's not going to be a quick solution. It's not going to be an easy solution. But ultimately, guys, at the end of the day, again, rich people don't get rich by saying, ah, sure, we can lose money. But remember, they bought this franchise for $150 million. What's it worth? Yeah. $600? $700 million now?
Look what the Senators sold for. The Senators sold for,
Exactly. My point is, and remember, if the NHL actually
put it this way, Dave, it's a lot more than $150 million. It's definitely closer to a billion.
Right. And remember, speaking of that billion number, Ezzy, if the NHL does expand and the rumored expansion dollars are a billion. By the way, the other thing about, I saw someone complaining about the players not getting any of the money. Well, that's true, but there's also, you know, another 30 player, 23 players that are going to have jobs that would be in the AHL making AHL salaries as opposed to the NHL minimum. So
I just want to make it clear, though, I don't think the NHL should be expanding to 33 or 34
obviously.
I mean, let's maybe move the Coyotes first before we, you know, start adding 33.
Anyways, 34. All I'm saying is, and so it, look, we're not going to go into accounting 101 here, but there are so many different layers to this situation with True North. And I mean, guys, look at all the concert these guys bring in. Look at all of the other revenue sources they have. They're a private run company.
Drew had the time of his life at 50 Cent and Busta Rhymes.
It's true. I did. I've been playing some Jeremiah left, right, and center since the concert.
Oh, Matthew Thompson. I like this one. He says, all three of you deserve your own Tough Duck toques because we've all had hard-hitting comments tonight.
Well, that leads us seamlessly into the Tough Duck hardest-hitting comment.
The Tough Duck hardest-hitting comment.
And we're going to move away from the talk about the attendance issues, get back to the game that was on the ice for tonight's Tough Duck winner. Ezzy, who's winning the Tough Duck 2, courtesy of our friends at Tough Duck?
We're going to give it to Sludge Factory 23. Great name. I still think that second line is going to be dynamite once it gets going. Ehlers' speed, Perfetti's vision, and a rotating power forward. Yes, please. We talked about it earlier in the postgame show. That's arguably been the Jets' best line over the last couple games. It's hard to believe that after six games, Ehlers doesn't have a goal yet, but he's going to score one. Obviously, the pass from Perfetti to David Gustafson, we gave it the Seagram's shot of the game. So love that comment from Sludge Factory 23. Send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, with your mailing address info, or slide into my DMs on X, formerly Twitter, @ICEZEG, with your mailing info. And there we go. Sludge Factory is still here. So, yeah, send me an email, Sludge, and we will hook you up with Tough Duck. We'll ship that toque out to you directly wherever you live, whether it's Winnipeg, Manitoba, or anywhere else in the world.
Well,
no, we only ship in North America.
So I will say,
Sludge Factory, if you're in Australia, I don't know if we're going to be able to get you that too.
Although we did ship to John Chan, who's in Singapore,
yes,
when he won the contest last year,
and it cost $311.
Yeah, it was a little bit expensive, but I will say, what was the story, Ezzy, with you? Remember when you had to ship something? Cost you what was that story?
I do remember, because when we had the IC, the first couple years of the Jets, we had the fitted. IC, what was it?
Yeah,
5950. I still have mine.
We sent one to Brian Grebe in San Francisco. And I don't know. I guess I didn't really know how to ship things back then. And then I shipped it from my previous place of employment. I'm not going to mention them.
Previous is the operative word there, folks.
Yeah, not Hockey Manitoba, not my current employer, but my previous employer. And then they got a bill, and it was something like, they're like, what did you ship for $48 to San Francisco? And I was like, it was I used to work for a real estate company, so I was like, it was like some important real estate documents for that big it was that Penske file that we were closing, that big real estate deal. It was worth it, though, because Brian and Connor and the entire family, it was worth it to send them that icy hat.
Sorry for that segue, but I just wanted to say I did get an email from one of the recent Tough Duck winners. And I will say it was thank you for getting my toque back. So he had previously won, I think, a Tough Duck toque, and then he lost said Tough Duck toque or something. I think he moved to Saskatchewan. But all I know is I got a very nice long email. I will not name names from him, as he was very thankful for receiving a new Tough Duck Duke.
Well, the Tough Duck Dukes are gold now. It's mm-hmm. snowing outside. I mean, you need to have a good quality toque.
It is getting cold, though. If it's not snowing yet, it's going to get cold, certainly, and Tough Duck is coming through in the clutch.
I'm not John Sauter, but
I was dandruff, Mezzy.
Those hardest hitting comments. Big thanks.
Well, hold on. We got some controversy.
Uh-oh.
Positive Mall saying he's waiting for a toque from the ICOT winner in 2012. Mikhail Bodker.
Dave, you gotta check the records.
I will check the records. Although I will say I had no
records go back to 2012.
I have the records of who would have won, but I would not have a confirmation because the problem was so many of those. I mean, I sent a lot of tukes out. Those were not the original IC tukes, but those were the ones. Those were a CompuStitch one that we had from a reader of ours or follower of ours, I should say, and pretty nice actually. I think I've still got a few kicking around.
This is like when Jerry doesn't return the book and Michael Bookman comes to the apartment.
Well, according to Drew, there's no library. There's no late fees anymore. So you can return that Tropic of Cancer from 1974.
It was the people in the chat who told me that there were no more. More library overdue fees. It's not me. There's no more overdue fees.
I'm really excited to check out that Bill and Helen Norrie library. It's really a nice modern design by Panama.
Well, this show's off the rails.
I was going to say, hey, you haven't been there before?
No,
it's been open for like 2 years.
But why would he be at the library?
He's got young kids.
I take the kids
at the library every week.
That playground, by the way, is by that library is fantastic. My kids love it.
Yeah,
Kenny's got a good
library. You might be able to get them a book.
Well, I have to get my kids library cards first, Drew. You can't take a book without library cards.
You can do that at the library.
I'm with Spencey on this one. Just kidding. I'm not.
Books are for losers. All righty. That's it. We're done for tonight. We'll be back Thursday
jealous.
Night.
No. I don't want to make you jealous. Yeah, I saw Spencey today at lunch.
Oh, boy.
I went with a coworker today at lunch to the Underground Square. What is it called now? Winnipeg Square?
Yeah.
The Underground Mall.
It's always been called
Winnipeg Square for like 35 years. Yeah. I saw Spencey, and I didn't give him a hug because I've been sick lately. But I didn't want to make you too jealous, Drew, because I know that you also have a little bit of a communique friendship with Spencey. But yes, Spencey and I did run into each other today. No big deal.
No big deal indeed. Sounds like a lovely lunch date was had between the two of you, Harry.
We are going to go for lunch. Sandwiches and soup. We're doing it up.
You guys should do that. Big thanks to everybody who joined us this evening on the Illegal Curve postgame show. We'll be back again on Thursday following the Jets and the Red Wings to do it all over again. The shenanigans never stop. Big thanks to the sponsors. Betway, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, the Rink Guys, and our friends at Rolly's Transfer. Support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey.
Smash that like button.
Yes, if you haven't already done so, smash the like button, subscribe.
Please leave a comment too.
Leave some comments on YouTube.
Fudge Factory, if you haven't smashed that like button, do it right now.
Leave some comments on iTunes. Leave some comments wherever you get your podcasts. We always want to hear what you think of this show, particularly the nonsense when it goes well off the rails, like it frequently does. We'll be back Thursday night, 8:30, give or take, 8:30, 8:45, somewhere around there. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg, thanks everyone for joining us. This has been the Illegal Curve Postgame Show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.